Hey everybody, Shane here. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your favorite wine, whiskey, and local craft beers. Stop by and visit them Thursday, December 20th for some live music from Kevin Babb. Friday, December 21st, Pat Liston. And Saturday, December 22nd, The Scandaleros. I'll be back out there on January 8th with my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, bringing along my good friends Kara Louise, Cree Ryder, and Drew Schaefer for that one. So do not miss that show. 7 p.m. start, $5 at the door. Full listing of events and everything happening at Naked Vine can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Annie.
And we're with iwenttoashow.com, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at the Pocket in St. Louis, right next to Off-Broadway, with Jess Luther and Annie McCants of I Went to a Show. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Shane.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. This is it's kind of been making, you know, for a while. Like we became friendly not too long ago. We officially, uh-huh. But I've been aware of your work around town for a while. I think was it a River City Opry or something? Like we were.
I think it was in the afternoon that we chatted at Off Broadway, but I think it might have been Open Highway, perhaps in August.
Yeah, sometime. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we were hanging out. Our mutual friend John Henry was hanging out here too, being that it was Open Highway. Now that I mention that, it all comes back to me. But we're hanging out talking and got to officially meet and. And I was like, we should do this one day. So then now we're here. We're going to talk about all things I Went to a Show and more. So I guess tell me a little bit more about I Went to a Show, how this all gets started, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess our ultimate thing is that we're a music blog, but we ebb and flow in our availability to actually write content for the blog. You'll notice if you visit it right now, I've been slacking a little. Luckily, we have some talented photographers like Jesse McKee and Abby Gilardi that help us out with content on occasion. But we started back in May 2010, so it's been quite a while that we've been trying to get people out to shows. I know that might not have been obvious from our URL, but that's what our goal is. So as a music blog, we're not really critics. We don't have that kind of pedigree, but we are music fans. So we asked a couple of musician friends, what's the most direct way that we can support you in your endeavors? And the answer was very simply, come to our shows, pay to get in, buy our merchandise right from us. So that was how I Went to a Show was born. We started with four friends that had different tastes in music that came together, and now it's Annie and I, pretty much, with, again, some contributions here and there. And it's a lot of fun. We've seen a lot of great music, both national and local bands. But the main goal of I Went to a Show is to get folks out to see stuff and decide what they like.
For sure.
So we're not really... too intense about this is what you should be listening to, though. Of course, if you follow us, you know that I have strong opinions and a lot of feelings, but who doesn't as a music consumer? But it's been really rewarding because we've gotten to meet cool people. I think Rock Paper Podcast and I Went to Show kind of has the same vibe. It's a kind of organic support. Hey, I'm excited about this and I hope you are too. So
as you're saying that, I'm just nodding and agreeing, because that's exactly how I started too. Like, it was more I was going to shows all the time and I've become friendly with all these guys. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I wanted to help. So I started writing a blog too for a little while, more doing like album review type of stuff. But my reviews were more like,
I think you should listen to these two or three songs. They're my favorites. And so it was more me wanting to just get the music out there. And then so I was like, well, it makes sense to kind of move into the audio format where I can actually just play the music itself. So
right.
So the natural progression to move into the podcast form made sense. But also, as you're saying about, like, I've been doing this, like, list of shows in town all the time and for the last several years. And a lot of that was because everybody's like, hey, there's nothing to do in this town. And I'm like, no, you're wrong, and I'm going to show you. And so I started just listing off all these bands they were playing every night, and people really started responding to that. And
it's really helpful. There's KDHX does a great job with their concert calendar, mm-hmm. but it's read on the air, right? And of course you can visit a website, sure. but seeing your rundown just on social media where we all are,
right.
For better or worse, most of the day is really helpful. And I think bands get a kick out of that too.
Yeah, I think they all get, and everybody seems to be enjoying it. And it's cool to, when I don't do it, if I get busy and I forget or whatever, you know, and then people are like, hey, where's it at? And I'm like, you know, sorry, you know, got two or three jobs working today and all that
yeah.
stuff. So, but I do try to make a point of doing it every day. And, but so it is nice that people are always looking for it. So,
right.
And it's also fun for me with doing those, lists is that, like, I started doing it, you know, several years ago, and it was like four or five things on a Friday night, you know, just because, like, that's kind of where my range was. And then, like, as I've been doing this show and everything else and growing as a music lover, my network has expanded so much to where it's like 40 something shows on a Friday night and stuff. So it's really, it's kind of, you know, Facebook memories pop up every now and then. I'm like, and I just, like, look at those and I'm like, that's kind of crazy to think about how far it's everything's reached out now. And I'm sure you have a similar, you know, as in 8 years of doing this now. And
yeah. I mean, I have a lot of, you know, if things like that do come up or I dare to look back at content from 2010, I do cringe a little bit. So no one visit the archives. But no, it's fun to grow, right? You fun,
sure.
you grow in your hobby. This is a hobby for us, just like the podcast is a hobby for you.
Yeah.
And we aren't musicians ourselves, but we've gotten a lot of joy and friendships and other things with other music fans and with the musicians. Something that I thought about while you were talking was that, you know, you said there's 20, 30, 40 things to do on any given night or couple of nights in St. Louis. And I think one cool thing about St. Louis, and then we might, though this is changing, but we might not always get the biggest tour stop. The biggest tours might not stop here, whatever, but it's a very accessible city. So that means that almost anywhere you are in the city or county, you know, if you want to go have a drink and listen to some music, if you don't want to drink and listen to some music, if you want to have dinner, or if you want to bring your kids to a show,
right.
there are numerous opportunities that are not, like, prohibited by finance, you know, that you can go to for free or cheap, you know.
Sure.
We just walked out of Off-Broadway, and there's a $5 show with six or seven bands, a monthly series, River City Operate Off-Broadway, and that is so cool. There's half the room, and there's kids with their parents, which is just pretty neat.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, we can hear them playing outside. Yeah.
But, that's, you know, that people often make the excuse of the money and stuff, and it's like, this, you know, there's tons of free options around town all the time. So, yeah, there's no reason not to get out and support live local music. So. Yeah.
And Jess and I aren't musicians. We're just creative people trying to help other creative people succeed.
Sure.
Yeah. So we don't always have the patron of the arts money.
We can't play any instruments.
Right.
You can photograph and write. And
Anna can design. And
I can
keep our website running. Thank God. Yeah.
And so that's how we contribute.
Yeah. I think that's probably, I mean, I don't play anything either. I've never... No, I tried. I went play.
Same.
You know, I did like I did like I tried out for like sixth grade band, and then with the cornet, and didn't go very well. And,
yeah, I've got a cornet in the house.
She's got a cornet in the house.
And I clearly recall my band teacher saying, "Hey, you're either gonna have to try really hard at this, or you can go back to gym class." And I'm like, "All right, I'll see you later."
Sports.
I was much better at football and basketball.
Us too. Not football, but yeah.
We're all back to the creative parts of our life.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, when you're, 6'4", 300 pounds, you
play basketball.
Yeah, and football. So. But yeah. But anyway, it was, but music's always been there for me. That's the thing. It's always been a huge passion of mine. You know, even my parents started it when I was young, you know, playing records all the time around the house, and so we always grew up with music playing, so it was just, you know, natural for me to move on and then expand this and stuff, because like I said, it's just something I've always loved, and it's really cool to see what we have going on here in St. Louis, because there is so much going on right now, and it's like, just like yourself probably too, I'm just trying to document as much of it as I can, as fast as I can, because there's like so many cool things happening.
Right.
Give me some of the evolution. Is it always started as just the blog, or when did you start like getting into, you know, shows and different stuff? And
so that's pretty sporadic, but I think it started when
I think the showcases, right?
Shoot. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah. So years ago. Years ago at Off Broadway.
Good memory. Pretty Little Empire days.
Yeah. When Pretty Little Empire was out playing, and The Blind Eyes and some other bands from that era, which would have been the early 2010s. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I think it was something like Steve from Off Broadway had some open slots, and we put on local showcases, which now are a dime a dozen, but they were a lot of fun and got people together again, like in an accessible price, $5, maybe 10 if there are a bunch of bands. And so we started those, and then we also were fortunate enough to have some touring musicians with local support play in our house, so we did a series of house shows here and there.
Very cool. Those are so much fun.
Yeah, they are fun. They're a lot of work, but Annie and I unabashedly, you know, like to throw a party here or there. So it's a party with built-in entertainment. And we've met some cool friends that way, and some cool strangers that you welcome into your house, and they're grateful and awesome. We've hosted Samantha Crane. We've hosted Emperor X. We've hosted Pretty Little Empire when they were trying out new material for a record. That was a blast.
Town Cars,
Melinda Cooper's band, when they were just a duo, we had them.
Communist Daughter
out of Minnesota. Yeah, so we've had some fun. We booked a Kimia Dawson show at Foam that was going to be at our house, but we didn't want to be selfish. So Foam held more people, so we moved it there. So those little intimate things are fun, because that's why we like music. I think that, yes, we have some music buddies, some friends that also play music in town, but I think that what's neat, at least for me, was if you're a music fan in the city, you have access to the artists, meaning that you can talk to them about their work. You can help them. You can play, you know, you can play a role in, you know, their possible future success, which is cool. And that's how we got to putting on shows. And now we did, you know, we'll talk about the Cheryl Crow cover set or cover show. We're going to do that. But we throw our support, in-kind support, behind shows at Off-Broadway when we can, or you know, occasionally other venues as well. So that's fun.
Yeah, well, let's get into it. We do have a big show coming up on December 21st at Off-Broadway, and this was titled A Christmas Cheryl.
Right, like a Christmas carol.
Yeah.
Mild pun, yeah.
Well, this show shows a mild pun, a Rock Paper Podcast. So,
yeah, right?
Yeah,
it see, it's good. Perfect fit.
But so I went to a show with Presents. So we have Beth Bombara, we have Allie Vogler in the Dirty Details, and Stacey Winter, and Jenny Rokas.
That's right. So this show admittedly started as a bit of a lark. So we found ourselves, yet again, around the fire at Off-Broadway at a different show with some friends, including Beth and Kit and a couple other buddies. And I believe the sentence was, I don't know how we got started on this, but I believe it ended with someone saying, and apologies because I don't know who to attribute this to, but Cheryl Crow has some bangers. And yeah, so we laughed. We were like, but wait. And so there was a big discussion, like, is Cheryl Crow, like, kind of silly now? Or does her very popular, you know, 9 Grammys, millions of records, sales from the 90s still translate? And the answer, once we talked about it more, was we think that there's a reason that her music was, not only is she a Missouri girl, of course, that's a big point of pride about this show, but a lot of her hits really are still fun, and I've been talking to the musicians that you just mentioned about their practices, and they're having a blast playing these, you know, 90s country rock folk riffs, and admittedly, I asked people whose voices I loved and whose music I respected, whose original music I respected, to play this. It turned out that Allie of AV and the Dirty Details grew up listening to Shoko. I think she's a bit younger than me. But she's a big fan. So she was stoked to jump on. And I've been loving hearing this rock version of Allie. As you know, she's one third of River Kittens, who are one of our, me and Annie's favorite, favorite bands in town. But it's been really neat to see Allie and Maddie and Caroline step out and do their own thing at times. And I saw AV and the Dirty Details open for Old 97s at Open Highway, and I was just like, man, they're fun. You know, Allie's a great band leader, and her band is a blast to see live. So she's a real treat, and we've known Beth and Kit for a long time, and they're very excited to be part of this. So you're gonna hear the hits. I'm just gonna tell you that it's not really a deep cut show. We want everyone to be singing along and dancing, and it's around Christmas, hence the Christmas Cheryl. So there won't be a lot of Christmas music. It's going to be Sheryl Crow jams. Yeah, it's going to be Sheryl Crow jams.
I think what was funny about that is I don't know anybody that ever said that before that, though, that Sheryl Crow has some bangers. It's just, they're great songs, but just the fact that they're referred to as bangers, that's what's funny about it. But they're it's just... But yeah, she's got such a great catalog. Like I was saying, there's a ton of hits in there. So
yeah,
I listen to a lot of '90s on 9 in my car when I'm driving around, and yeah, I mean, if it comes on, I'm definitely gonna sing. So
yeah, I mean, I was surprised. Yeah, you can. I challenge your audience here to, pull up a Sheryl Crow song that they recognize and play it loud in their car, and
yeah,
it's quite a lot of fun. These are some fun songs, and she's a pretty good songwriter too. She's got there's some serious songs worked on this into this list, but and we have a buddy special guest coming in from out of town. We haven't announced it. Maybe we should do this here. So our friend John Calvin Abney out of Norman, Oklahoma. Yeah, you know of John, yeah.
Friend of the show.
All right, yeah, okay, perfect. So
we sat in the back room of Dead Wax Records and recorded a podcast.
Yes, so John, as you know, is an awesome dude. Incredible guitarist, one of the most prolific young guitarists I've seen in a minute. Also a Sheryl Crow fan.
Yeah, nice.
So he is also buddies with Beth and Kit. And for those of you that don't know, John is a singer-songwriter in Norman, Oklahoma. He backs John Moreland. So if you have seen John Moreland tour, he is the gentleman that is seated directly to his left for pretty much all the shows. So you can find his performances on Tiny Desk and other places around the internet. But I just saw that John himself finished tracking his fourth LP. It's been super cool watching him grow as a musician. He's still a young man. He's got a long career ahead of him, but it's been incredible to see him grow. So we're thrilled to have him. He's going to come and do probably a few solo songs. I don't know what Beth and Kit have in the works with him, but he will be here. And he reached out to us and said he wanted to come play this. So
nice.
we would not say no to having John in town at any time. So he's a great dude. Yeah.
Any other artists we won't say no to?
Sheryl Crow is invited, by the way. Really? Thank you, Annie. Whoa. Almost forgot. So Sheryl, if you're listening, we will make some time for you on stage, obviously. And anyone from Sheryl's hometown of Kennett, Missouri is welcome to join us. We'll guest list you. If your driver's license says Kennett, Missouri, it's a mere 190-something miles away, south of St. Louis.
But if
you make the trip, if you decide to spend just a few days before the holiday in St. Louis, we would be thrilled to host you. So, shout out to Sheryl, actual Sheryl Crow, shout out Kennett, Missouri, everyone's welcome. And this is a family-friendly show, too. So Sheryl Crow has bangers, but they're mostly family-friendly, so anyone is welcome to join us.
Yes, they're
not mostly, 100%. Yeah.
We should make, bumper stickers with that or something.
Mm-hmm. Sheryl Crow has bangers. We do have a clever, I will not tell you that's a secret, but we do have a clever koozie design that we came up that is a Sheryl and Off-Broadway sort of co-design.
Merch from...
We've got our friends from Button Booty, which is a original button maker in town, and some of our most favorite makers of pins. They are gonna make some Sheryl Crow in a Christmas hat.
Nice.
Obviously. originals for us, so we'll have those too. But yeah, we're going to try to make it fun. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
And we were fortunate to get, we were fortunate to have Logboat Brewing from Columbia. Everyone, I guess, by now knows who Logboat is since they have such a presence in town. They're sponsors along with Fooder Crafters, which if people don't know what that is, I'm going to give them a little shout out because it's kind of interesting. They make the oak barrels that a bunch of craft brewers in St. Louis and across the country buy to age their beer in. So they use Missouri oak, I believe, and they're right here in St. Louis. So they're this, like, you know, little local business that supplies this really unique product to all of the country. So they're helping us out. They're big music fans over there too. So we're thrilled for that, which means that the $10 at the door that you pay if you decide to come to the show goes right back to the musicians. So we're really, really happy about that. The point of putting on the show is, yes, to celebrate Cheryl, yes, to have a good time, but also to showcase the original musicians we have on the bill whose music is really worth everyone's time. So
Yeah. Well, you got, and we also have Kelsey McClure hosting the show.
I was hoping to get to Kelsey. Kelsey is a friend of ours, but a friend of, you know, St. Louis in general. She's a comedian. She's the Logboat sales representative. Yeah. She's a woman of many talents, and when we said, would you be interested in emceeing a Sheryl Crow cover show? She immediately said yes. Yeah. So she is bringing her best Sheryl Crow puns. I assume she'll tell some jokes, perhaps. But either way, she's gonna shepherd us through the show, and we're really thrilled to have her helping out. So it's a whole group of people putting this on together. It's not just Annie and I, and so we're just really excited about it.
Yeah, you when you're kind of talking about showcasing some of this local talent, like, I work at Broadway Oyster Bar every Wednesday night, and Sean Cannon down there does a different tribute every week to different artists and bands and everything, and he always has some of my favorite St. Louis All-Star players to fill out the band, and that's kind of the thing. Like, a lot of them are buddies, but like, as it first came, when I first started working there, and it wasn't as familiar with some of the players, but to get to meet these guys and like realize how talented they are as individuals, and then get to go discover their original music and stuff too, like, that's been some of the coolest parts. Like, to
absolutely,
you know, I mean, so yeah, hopefully if anybody comes to the show that loves Sheryl Crow and enjoy these versions, hopefully you go discover all these originals that from Beth and Allie and everybody else. So
yeah, and I know that Jenny is working on new music right now. Jenny leads a band called Desire Lines. She's performing as Jenny Rokas and Friends. It's that she has some sort of a different band lineup for the show. And Beth Mumbara, I think by now, is a pretty well-known rock and Americana folk artist in town. But I mean, there are always new audiences to get, and I am just, these are musicians that I really sincerely respect the art that they put in, and also the way that they conduct themselves in town. I think that they're just, you know, they're really big team players. The whole lineup, you know, Kit Hammond's project, Stacey Winter, is very much an indie, synthy, poppy project. I'm really interested to hear how that's going to translate into faithful Sheryl Crow covers. I think it's going to be a blast. And I would be, I want to mention this too, without getting on a soapbox at all, but St. Louis is a city that really values tribute nights. I think that is great and awesome. And when local bands play it, like you said, Shane, it introduces audiences to that artist as a person or as a performer. That's fantastic. I have noticed that, at least in the few years that Annie and I have been involved or paying attention to the local scene, that those tribute nights swing really heavy to male identifying artists. So part of the Sheryl thing was me complaining online about, like, every tribute or every show is dedicated to a guy, a great, great musician, but, you know, and so this was me putting my money where my mouth has been for a long time. And yeah, I hope that kind of trend continues. I hope we have a little more representation there as far as tribute nights.
Yeah. Well, right on. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great night. And like I said, we get to enjoy all these bangers.
Yeah, and maybe Sheryl Crow. I assume she's listening. So yeah, perhaps she'll show up. That would be cool.
She just did a song, I guess maybe, you know, probably a year ago now. I think a record came out, but she cut a song with Will Hogue, one of my favorites, and
yes,
was on his record called Little Bit of Rust. And so it's cool to see that she's still making.
Yeah, she's still out there. I just read that she's releasing a record in 2019.
Oh, really?
Cool. She collaborated last year, the year before, with Annie Clark with St. Vincent.
Yeah, I was going to say that's
the same. Yeah, yeah. Were you thinking of that one? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so she's still getting out there. And we're gonna honor that commitment.
Yeah, you said there's like other than just the name, there's not a lot of other necessarily Christmas related.
Get away from your family.
Yeah, bring your family or get away from them. I don't know. I'm hoping that we can scrap together some holiday decor or something. Yeah. But yeah, it'll be a festive atmosphere for your holiday of choice, your winter holiday of choice, and. I know there won't be there won't be a ton of Joy to the World sing-alongs or anything like that. There will be none, actually. There will be plenty of Sheryl Crow sing-alongs and a lot of festive holiday spirit.
That's how we spread joy this year.
Yeah, that's how we're spreading joy this year.
If it makes you happy.
If it makes you happy, come on out. Oh, good. Thank you. We needed to do one of those at least. Yeah.
Well, along with that, I went to a show, was also involved in Art of Live happening in January. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've been involved in this one yet, but this is, I've been aware, this is a festival that happens over several venues throughout that weekend, and this happens again on January 17th through the 19th.
Yes.
And it spans over Off-Broadway and Old Rock House and Gaslight.
Are we doing anything at Ready Room this year? I can't remember. But
yeah. There's several shows and several artists and things. But I guess you said I went to shows. Just kind of been help with this?
Yeah, we're a sponsor for Art of Live. And I believe it came about because January can be a slow month for booking. A lot of people after holidays, they play their holiday show, and a lot of venues have nights where they're dark, more so than in a lot of other seasons. So Erica and I guess John, yeah. Right? Okay, so I know Erica, you know John from Old Rock House, have a few years ago, I don't know the exact year it started, but decided that would be a good time to get people out of their houses and to come up, kind of package a group of shows across several different venues that it's basically, I mean, there's no genre associated with it. That's one of the reasons I love this Art of Live Festival. It's all over the place, which is a great thing. And it's, again, we go back to that accessibility. You know, I think they're selling wristbands for something like $30, $40 right now. And you could go to a plethora of shows over 3 days. And another cool thing that at least they've done in years past, I assume Erica will do it again, but they always post set times for every show. So last year I found myself hopping, and I could make it to two or three venues in a night. I mean, Old Rock House and Off-Broadway are pretty close to one another, so it was just a blast to walk into a full room, catch a set, run over to the next thing, and with that wristband, you can kind of go around and do all those different things. So I know that one band, I've heard, I have not caught Liz Cooper in the Stampede yet, but I have heard nothing but awesome things about her and that band. I'm super stoked to catch them. And you, Shane and Annie and I were talking before we started recording about Future Birds, which is a band we caught years ago at Cicero's, R.I.P. Cicero's, and they just charmed the heck out of us in that basement venue. And I know they've played St. Louis again before. I just haven't caught them yet since then. So I'm excited that they're playing as well. That one's at Old Rock House, right?
Yeah.
The Future Birds show. Yeah.
A few Off Broadway.
Oh, yeah. That's at Off Broadway.
Yeah.
Great.
With,
okay.
With support from Elliot Pearson and,
yes,
and the Yardbirds also on that too, so that's going to be a fun night.
Elliot's one of the most, Elliot and his band, I should say, are just a great, fun group of performers. I've been thrilled that they've been getting some more attention lately.
Yeah.
It's duly deserved.
Like
AV and the Dirty Details is also on that list, so as well as Beth, so, you know.
But Elliot, fresh off of Stifle,
kind of a big show.
Stifle
yeah.
Theater, sold out show with Nathaniel Rateliff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was
pretty big deal.
Yeah. I was like watching some of that online, just as their pictures and stuff, and I didn't make it to the show, but just like super proud of those guys and what the, you know, for them getting a chance to showcase what they can do in front of a big old crowd.
That's some hard work paying off.
Yeah, definitely.
Elliot's a heck of a songwriter and a really great performer, great vocalist. So yeah.
Well, you were asking about the Ready Room. They are all involved in this one, and so you can head over to the Ready Room on the 18th and catch Animal Years and with my friends the Bernie Sisters opening up.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen those girls, you need to, because they're taking off. They're really something special. They're 11 and 13, I believe. And
unbelievable.
Yeah, so talented. Like, they are very, very good, very talented young ladies, and doing write great songs and play all their own music. And I mean, it's really something to see. So definitely come check that show out.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess all the, like I said, there's more information. You can go on the Facebook Art of Life Festival. You can RSVP to all these individual events. And again, you can buy a wristband and check it out.
Yeah.
Go support some more live music.
Yeah, I think the wristband is probably a great deal if you want to see one of the, at least two of those bigger shows. There's a, it's a pretty huge discount. So it's really worth your time. We've really encouraged folks to do that. And again, that's, we have no financial stake in that. I just think it's a great deal. And I, speaking only for myself, after the Christmas season, the holiday season is over, I often feel a little bummed out. Like, there was, so, you know, there's always that like winter doldrums that you kind of get in. So Art of Life forced me outdoors in mid-January, and I don't ever regret it. I'm chilly, but I bundle up, and it's a great time. It's warm inside.
Yeah. What, I guess going into the future, I mean, you know, we're putting this a Christmas Cheryl together and a couple of other things we got, you're part of now, but what do you want to, like, what's the next big thing you think you do? Like, I mean, we've done, you've done the blog, you've done the photos, you've done putting together showcases and shows, and is there anything else still on the list that I Went to a Show wants to do?
Oh, that's a great question, Shane. I don't know. We're small. It's just the two of us. This is definitely a hobby. But I don't know. We're always, we really do like putting on shows. I mean, they're a lot of work, but we do really do like being able to produce a show. So if anyone ever wants to give us money to do that, we'll happily accept it.
Yeah.
We think that, you know, whenever we can, when it's not a benefit or something, it's, we want to pay our artists whenever we can. And so that kind of stuff's important. So making connections with more, you know, food or crafters, I mentioned them as a sponsor for the Cheryl Show. And I'm always interested in meeting representatives from companies or other small businesses that want to be patrons of the arts in St. Louis. You can do a lot with a little in St. Louis. So I'm interested in meeting more people in 2019 that might have that, share that same mindset, you know.
Yeah. Would there ever be like I Went to a Festival?
Oh, boy, that seems exhausting. That seems exhausting. One-offs are great. I do work in the summer for Open Highway Music Festival, and as from a, you know, I help with whatever's needed. That's not my brainchild. That's John and Steve's from Off-Broadway. And I see what goes into that.
Right.
And I am very happy to, you know, be a Robin to their Batman and support them. So I'm still learning. But, of course, I'd love to have a festival. I'd love to do something. But right now, we just like to support and lend a hand when we can.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Like I said, I don't mind helping. I mean, I've been doing this show now for 4.5 years, and I've thrown 4 birthday parties, and then now the latest was that Toys for Tots benefit, which I kind of want to develop as going into the winter, you know, holidays stuff. I want to have a big show for that. So every year I try to do more and keep building and stuff, but I suspect maybe one day, you know, several years down the line, maybe I'll get to a festival level, but maybe even if it's like a one-day festival thing, but yeah, I can't imagine what, you know, like Open Highway, that's what, 4 nights?
It's usually about 4 or 5 nights.
Yeah.
It's a big undertaking. It's only in the evenings, but it's a big undertaking, but you know, that's why you have a team around you, and John has grown that, right? Like,
right.
It was a little thing that's becoming a bigger and bigger thing, and I think that's what you do. You just build on one small success, and you try to make that into a series of small successes or one big one, and you go from there.
So. Yeah, definitely. What I was kind of wondering also, like, you know, when we were kind of talking about the start of all this, like, was what were some of your favorite concert moments that kind of, you know, stood out to you that really, like, make you think, like, this is what I want to get involved in, you know, more of this?
Okay.
Do you have any particular moments that come to mind that...
Sure, I mean, do you have any right off the top of your head? Okay.
I know you...
Meeting Beth Mamara.
Yeah, meeting Beth was an impetus to get us out to more stuff.
Yeah, we met randomly. Each other and Beth Mamara at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Firebird. Firebird. 2009 or something like that. Yeah. So having one friend who was moving their way through the music scene in St. Louis was definitely helpful. But I remember, I brought this up recently on Facebook because she was on my mind, but there was a number of memorable Those Darlin' shows. Those Darlin's were a band out of Nashville, and they put on some really, really fun, wild. I was totally out of my element. I was a huge dork at a really cool rock show with a band led by two women, and I was just like, that's really powerful and fun, and they're spitting beer into the audience, and they were just raging, and it was just, everyone was kind of in it together. I really liked, and I didn't know that I was missing that kind of community, but it felt, you know, that felt really good. So that's definitely a memory. And yeah, that one sticks out. That was kind of something that made me, that was one of the first things, like, Those Darlin's was a band that all four of us who started the blog were like, yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
I feel a little out of my element here, but everyone here is awesome and having a great time, and sure, I want to chase that feeling.
Yeah.
So we've been fortunate this year. We saw some really incredible, big, huge artists, you know, like, we both love Janelle Monáe. We got to see Janelle Monáe play the pageant, and that was, you know, even in this, at this time, we've seen a ton of shows, and that was just like a transformative thing for us. It was, so that's so magical, but really the way that we got started was a little show, you know, a 350 cap venue is where we found, like, we could do something here. We could help here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Janelle's fine. She doesn't need help.
Yeah.
It's those bands that you're like, they're awesome, and I want to come home and tell people about them. You know, it was the days where we were still, I mean, the days, it wasn't that long ago, but it was still when we were making mix CDs, right? So I was giving out mix CDs to our friends on their birthdays, you know, and we were still finding out about music that way. So that's kind of how I felt like being at a place like Off Broadway or the Firebird or the Demo, those smaller venues, that again, really accessible. That's kind of was the lifeblood of I went to a show in the very beginning. So
that's actually something I've been thinking about trying to bring back. I grew up in the era of the Point Essentials and all this stuff. You know, like, those were a great quick glimpse. 12, 13 songs or whatever of St. Louis music and a lot of different variety and stuff. And those are. Stuff like that, you know, so you get a nice little glimpse of what was going on, and you can get a couple different things. So I've been trying to think of, like, a way to do that. I've sort of have a little bit online. I did, like, on Bandcamp, I made, like, uploaded some of just, like, the live performances from the show on there,
mm-hmm,
as, like, a thing, and if you wanted to download it, you could, but I think everything's kind of now moved towards Spotify playlist and stuff,
totally,
which is also great, but it's really something. I mean, I love having that physical copy of the CD or records and things. So I think if I could find out how to make it affordable, that's the trick is,
right.
But if I could get into making some CDs like that, I think it'd be fun to do that just to pass out at shows. Like, hey, here's 15 bands.
Here's what I like, yeah.
Here's 15 bands you need to listen to, right? You know, so check that out. And so I don't know. That's something I think about, but again, trying to figure out the budget to make it work and, it's a little tricky. Spotify is way easier to, I can do it for free. So,
right. I mean, I think there's so many different ways now digitally to explore music that it's hard to make something that, like, feels meaningful. It takes me the same amount of time to pick out songs for a playlist, right? That I might be like, happy birthday, buddy. Here's a playlist I made you. It's not the same, right? It's giving them something. But that's the way of the world right now. We often talk about the two, you know, we're always like, put this favorite musician with this favorite person, also, especially on a local level.
Yeah.
We're always like, how can we get all these people that we love together and make something? But cost is one. Right. And also, yeah, how do we distribute it? What's the most meaningful way to distribute it? So I don't know. My answer to that has been put a bunch of disparate local bands on a show that are different from each other, that have different fan bases, and then try to get people to go to that. That's as close as I can get to like a compilation, you know?
I also was thinking of mixed CDs is, you're talking about those days where I used to make these mixed CDs, you know, you download everything, Napster or whatever, and... I mean, illegally buy them all, and then I made these mix CDs, and I would, you know, write them all the names on there, try to and stuff. And then I had a whole binder full of all these CDs and stuff. And I, at a football game one time in high school or something, somebody swiped my CD collection. And so a couple weeks go by or whatever it was, and I'm like, happened to be like walking on the other side of town for whatever reason, and on the street there, some friend's house or whatever it was, and I saw a CD on the ground. I pick it up, and it says Shane's Mix on it, and I was like, oh man, you know, I was like, I just immediately thought like, somebody's driving around listening to my CDs, like, nope, this sucks.
Yeah, that's like, hurtful. I was like, that's poor behavior. At least if you steal your stuff, they should be treasuring those stolen items, you know.
Just sitting and driving around slinging my CDs out all over the town, like Johnny Appleseed or something. anyway, it hurt, yeah, for sure. I'm like, you know, didn't appreciate my music and my effort I put into making it.
Right, yeah.
So it takes a while to write all those songs down on there. But I do want to give a shout out to Spotify. I just, with the end of the year, they made your playlist of all your, favorite songs of 2018. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys got into
that. Oh, I've dug into mine, yes. It's
but
been fun.
Mine, I was like, hey, this is awesome. Like, I was listening to that, and I was like, I couldn't have made a better playlist for myself if I tried. Like, I'm listening to that, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I was really enjoying it, so... So it's been a lot of fun to kind of read those. People have been sharing some of their stuff online, and it's just kind of fun to see what everybody's been listening to. With mine, it's funny because, like, my music's all over the place, so there's definitely a lot of local. But then I noticed I'm sitting there, like, jamming, and all of a sudden I went, like, from, like, an Old Souls Revival song to Cameo's Word Up. It popped in there. And I was
it's
like,
surprising what you've listened to, right?
Right. It just makes me laugh. It's always a... It's always a good time, but it was. And then there was another funny one that caught me off guard that I listened to a lot.
I see Tracy Chapman's Fast Car there. Yeah.
There you go. I got some of the hits on there.
Juxtaposed with Patrick Sweeney, who we love, who's also coming to Off Broadway.
With the Greyhounds.
Yeah, with the Greyhounds.
It's gonna be an awesome night.
Yeah, that is gonna be fun.
That
people should buy tickets to that, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, offbroadwaystl.com. Yeah.
Again, no financial stick. I just think it'll be a fun show.
That was another one that made me laugh was Michael McDonald's I keep forgetting or whatever. Just because I like it's a fun song to sing. It's actually the same instrumental from Warren G's Regulate with Nate Dogg.
Awesome.
It's that
really?
That same the piano part and stuff mm-hmm. So anyway, but that his voice is, makes me laugh on that. Like, I keep forgetting.
Oh yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, you've got some good stuff on here. What I'm seeing so far.
There's a.
For those listening along, we're just scrolling through Shane's playlist of top 100 songs.
Sleepy Rubies.
Love them too.
Oh yeah. Anyway, but so those were fun to like. I'm glad that. Spotify did that for me, so thank you, Spotify.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they can also, you know, I've also bought stuff direct from artists on Spotify. I always love Bandcamp. I've been like, I'm a huge like Bandcamp fangirl because it's so easy to buy burgeoning musician stuff like merch, records, downloads. It's so easy. I think it's an awesome way to showcase artist work, but that has also been super helpful. Like, I think I pre-ordered a record. I heard one track. That might have been where we got Janelle Monáe's record, but like you could click right within your listening on Spotify, and I found that that's the darn least they could do, by the way, for what artists make off of Spotify, which is nothing.
Sure.
But
I mean, I agree. I think that's like Spotify is an amazing tool, being able to listen to everything you want for $10 a month.
Totally.
And unlimited access and stuff. And it's like, but the whole thing is like, if you like it, go buy it. You know, like yeah. I go to a show, I buy the record at the, from the artist at the show and stuff. That's what I mean. Yeah. That's usually what I do. And but it's like, yeah, if you like what you're hearing, support what you know. That's what I get it all the time, especially again, like saying, working at Oyster Bar, people are like, you know, not wanting to pay the cover for the show. And I'm like, hey, if you're having a good time, throw $5 in on the show. Like,
yeah, this is like, less than a drink.
Right. But yeah. People won't argue with you all the time. Like, well, we just paid, you know, yeah, we just paid for dinner. And it's like, yeah, cool. Well, now you can pay for music. Like,
so. That's too crazy.
Anyway, don't get me started.
No, I mean, I think Spotify is not the end, but, you know, right. It's a means to an end. So, like, we love band clothes. So, you know, we love band shirts and stuff. So, like, right. That's one of the things that we often treat ourselves to when we're out at a show. Like, even if it's the first time we've seen that band, I'm like, they just put on a great set. And that is a killer t-shirt. So we're gonna take that home.
Right.
So, and it spreads, it's, merchandise is still really effective because people ask us all the time, like local bands, especially if you don't, you know, no offense to local bands, but a lot of them are not super well known, right? But if you have a killer shirt design, people ask about it.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, that's cool.
Do we have, I went to a show shirts?
We did one year. We did a run of them. We did a run of shirts. We did a run of koozies. Now we just buy other people's stuff, which is much easier.
We're going to have a koozie for the show.
Yeah, we'll have that koozie for
a show. I've been trying to redesign the logo / website for about 2 to 3 years.
It's a hobbyist project. Right. So you have a full project. We both have full-time jobs that we love. So it takes up a lot of time.
We're gonna make Christmas cookies. So
yeah.
The website, you know, takes.
The website can always wait because it still works. Yeah. So that's not the main point of what we do anyway. It's get people out.
Yeah.
I have the Rock Paper Podcast shirts, and like you're saying, they are conversation starters because people will come up and you know, they'll know me from, you know, and recognize the name and everything, and then they're like, oh, you know Shane or whatever and stuff. So like, it's cool to, my whole goal is to bring this community together, you know.
Absolutely.
And so even if I can do that through a shirt and not even be present, like, that's super cool. Like, the people, my friends are meeting each other without me even having to be there just because somebody's wearing my shirt. So
I mean, yeah, one of our favorite things that happens is, like, you know, you're at a concert or you're out or doing something and you introduce people to each other and they become buds or they become collaborators. Mm-hmm. And like, that feels pretty good to be like, to be playing a small part in building a community, you know.
For sure.
Again, a lot with a little. You can do that in St. Louis, and that's what makes it special.
Well, You can snag some tickets for a Christmas Cheryl. You said $10?
$10.
Yeah.
And if your financial circumstance around the holidays prevents you from paying that $10 cover, our contact information is available on our website. And I am Jess Luther. That's Annie McCants. We are both on social media. And you can send us a message and we'll work something out. We want people to see the show.
Yeah.
So.
And have fun.
And I went to a show available on Facebook and Instagram, right?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the World Wide Web at iwenttoashow.com.
There we go. And yeah, you can come check out. We got recently posted pictures I saw of Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, that was Abby's show. Yeah. We're a little bit of everything over there. Abby really wanted to shoot that show. We were like, fantastic. So that was fun.
I went there. That was a good night.
Yeah,
she had
a blast.
Yeah, it was fun to sing along to... Yeah, that Dizzy Up the Girl record they played, mm-hmm. They played in entirety. So
yeah, she said she had a good time. Yeah. So.
The only my only critique, I don't do a lot of it, but the only part I didn't really care for was they wheeled out this video board, and Johnny Resnick was like talking to himself on the video, and then like real Johnny played guitar or. Saying while the video version of Johnny played guitar, and then they switched, and Johnny played guitar while the video sang, and I was like, this is getting weird. Like, and it was like, I didn't really want to. I don't want to watch the video sing. Like, I wanted to. We came here to watch the, you know, Goo Goo Dolls.
Let's go ahead with the live take here.
So I don't know. That was my only thing. I was like, I think they were trying to be fun and funny because he was like trying to make some jokes with himself and. It was all, you know, pre-rehearsed, obviously, with the video and stuff, so, but it was like, I don't know, I was like, just play. It was a little weird.
Yeah, that's...
So, that's my only...
Doesn't seem super cute, but no judgment if you liked it. Great job, that's fine.
I'm sure Johnny is probably not a fan anymore now he's fighting.
Yeah, he's unsubscribed, just now.
But yeah, so anyway, check those out. There's a bunch of pictures. You also debuted the single for Devin Cahill recently mm-hmm. on there.
We did. We also did a debut with of Houses by Prairie Rehab. Their most recent single.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they are great. Great songwriter.
Lacey's like the sweetest too. Like
she is a killer songwriter in town. She is one of the most understated, or like, you know, she's a killer writer. She's got a beautiful voice. The band's great. So Prairie Rehab.
All kinds of goodies on there. So yeah, head over to iwentoashow.com if you haven't already and check it out. So maybe new website coming soon.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll see. Stay tuned. Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for doing this. It's been a real treat. I've been having a lot of fun. So again, we'll see you all off Broadway December 21st. Thanks, everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Shane. Bye.
Waved at the mic.
That's fine. Bye.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.